Hey, all you nostalgic Worf rats.
Welcome to 90210 Here We Go, the podcast that takes a look at each episode of the Beverly Hills 90210 franchise from Fox to the CW.
One of us is a 90210 expert and the other is a 90210 novice.
I'm Kendra Mickles and I'm seeing these episodes for the first time.
I'm Nick Gunning and I've seen them all. Kendra, welcome back. You took
Thanks.
a little April Fool's Day break.
You replaced me? Is that what happened?
You replaced me on this Andorian life, as you'll recall.
Yes, touche.
So, how was your visit to Andorian life?
It was great. We had a good time talking about Ewoks.
All right. I think Eric did an admirable job filling in for you last week.
I think so, too. I was a little shocked when I saw the running time for this episode.
I'm like, the one who had to edit it. How do you think I felt? I was like, 90 minutes? But
that's too much.
You know, a lot was happening in the episode, so, you know.
Yeah. Our show is brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Other shows on the network include 90s Music Got Me Like, This Andorian Life, and previously on X-Men. You can follow all of the shows at Radio Meanwhile on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Please rate, subscribe, and share this show wherever you get your podcasts.
Today we're discussing Beverly Hills 90210 Season 8, Episode 12, Friends Indeed. Another question that I have about a title. Who are the friends indeed?
I don't know, because listeners, the way it's spelled is not like indeed, it's like a deed to a house kind of thing.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what that means,
know.
But okay.
Yeah. Like the deed to the peach pit? Is that what we're...
Oh, yeah, okay, maybe. All right, a deed is involved, sure.
Is there, though? Because we haven't seen any paperwork. Only
I don't
keys
know. Just
hands,
keys, so. Just the keys, yeah.
All right, let's check out the Beverly Beat.
Okay.
We guarantee the Beverly Beat is the best advertising you'll ever get.
Listeners, I don't know if you can hear the birds. We've got the windows open, and it's nice, and you may hear some birds. So.
I can hear the birds. It's like I'm recording an episode with Snow White.
And I don't see a problem with that. So.
No, I don't either. Kendra's currently feeding a doe out of her hand. Yeah. She's just got...
Just like,
yep.
Right next
distracting.
To her.
Distracting.
Birthdays, December 6th, Lindsay Price, who we will meet shortly. Ooh, a little bit of sizzle, turned 21.
That's true. I don't think we actually said the episode aired December 3rd, 1997, but it did.
My bad. It did.
Okay.
One death to mention, actor Richard Vernon, known for films like A Hard Day's Night and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, died at 72.
I've only seen one of those movies. Only saw Hard Day's Night.
Oh, I love A Hard Day's Night.
It's good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is great. You should watch it.
I haven't watched it. And I haven't read any of those books. I don't know what my problem is.
I haven't read
the
books.
Okay.
I have not delved into it, but the movie does a good job.
Okay.
Movies, December 10th, Steven Spielberg's historical epic Amistad was released. The film features Matthew McConaughey, Anna Paquin, and 90210 alum Jamon Yusuf. Wow,
yeah.
I can't speak.
Yeah.
Today.
Do you think that's how he introduces himself? He's like, hey, I was on 90210, I played a bouncer.
Yeah, 90210 alum Jamon Yusuf. Yeah. Yep. have you seen Amistad?
No.
I watched it in school, I think. They showed it to us in school. It's really, really, really good.
Okay. I saw Stephen King's historical epic, Tintin.
Historical epic?
I'm gonna say it again. I saw Steven Spielberg's historical epic, Tintin.
I'm not putting that out.
So. Oh, darn it. Now everybody knows. Okay.
You know, I feel like Tintin doesn't really get much love, but I was watching it. It was like randomly on the other day. And I was like, this is like, it's really good. Like the animation is really good. It's just
I saw it only once in theaters and I was like, what is this? I don't, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
it just,
I didn't really,
it doesn't really land right, but it feels like all the elements are there. So.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's like all the individual beats, like the action, even the characters and stuff. But as a whole, you just leave kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Weird. TV, December 4th, Extreme Ghostbusters, a sequel series to The Real Ghostbusters, ended its run at 40 episodes. December 6th, The Magic School Bus, starring the voice of Lily Tomlin, aired its final episode. I only just connected that Lily Tomlin was the voice of Miss Frizzle.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I texted you guys like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a fact.
Music, December 8th, MTV released the live album Bryan Adams Unplugged, hit number 19 on the UK charts.
We saw Bryan Adams in concert together, Kendra.
We did. It was good.
With Billy Idol.
Which was Billy Idol. Yeah,
I was there for Billy Idol, to be honest with you.
I think we all were there for Billy Idol, but I ended up enjoying the Bryan Adams.
No, it was good. The whole thing was good. Yeah.
In the Billy Idol section.
Oh, I wouldn't say more, but I was pleasantly surprised by Bryan Adams. Yeah.
Billy Idol, like, went, I mean, he is just like full went for it.
Billy Idol knows what people want from a Billy Idol experience, and he gives it.
Yeah.
He fully gives it.
Yep. December 9th, Dragon Ball Z, the original U.S. television soundtrack featuring music by Ron Wasserman was released.
Okay.
Love me some Dragon Ball Z.
We did a whole Dragon Ball Z episode on But Have You Tried. You can go and listen to it. And there's a Dragon Ball Z episode of Nostalgia Me This that you can also listen to.
But you did the bad Dragon Ball movie, right?
We had Nick Davis from the ND Vision podcast come on, and he told me what to watch, and I watched it. So you can take it up with him.
Okay. Okay. So it wasn't the live action one, like the same one you did for Three Nice Things.
That's right. I wasn't on that episode. Hillary from previously on X-Men was. But yeah, there's also a Dragon Ball Z.
Okay. So you watched an actual.
I did. It was a movie. It was an animated movie that I watched.
Okay.
Specifically for that. But I have seen Dragon Ball Evolution. I saw it in theaters when it came out.
Gross.
Yeah.
Video games, December 9th, Quake 2 was released for Nintendo 64 and PlayStation. An enhanced remake came out in 2023.
I've never played Quake, but the Star Trek Voyager Elite Force game that we played nonstop in college was on the Quake engine, so I feel like I've played Quake.
Yeah, I think that counts.
Okay.
All right, Nick, take us beyond the zip code.
This is a weird one, Kendra. I had to check the date on this to make sure that I didn't fall for an April Fool's prank, but here we go. Laura Layton, who played Sophie Burns in season 9 of 90210, is better known for her role as Sydney Andrews in Melrose Place. Any relation, Kendra?
Not to me.
No. Okay. She reprised the role in the CW reboot alongside Heather Locklear as Amanda and Daphne Zuniga as Jo. And it's just been announced that the three are on board for yet another Melrose Place reboot. And at time of recording, it's being produced by CBS Studios, still looking for a home, whether it's going to end up on Paramount Plus or Fox or whatever. Who knows? Or if it will even get made, honestly. I'm skeptical that this will ever see the light of day. But it was on Deadline. And it was all sorts of like serious news being like, yes, the three of them are signed to do a Melrose Place reboot again. So...
All right. Well, I guess we'll see.
I'm curious. I mean, first of all, it's weird because those three characters in the original Melrose Place were in it at the same time, but I don't remember a scene where those characters talk to each other. Like, I'm sure it happened, but it's not like, oh, a classic trio, you know?
They're going to like retcon and be like, they were BFFs.
Well, it already took a lot of retcons in the CW reboot to get Sydney back because of the way that character's trajectory went. But I don't know. I have trouble picturing this. And like, are they going to ignore the CW reboot? Are they going to pick up from the CW reboot? A lot of questions.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I guess we will.
All right. Let's look at our synopsis for Friends Indeed. Val strikes a deal with Noah, enabling her to run the Peach Pit after dark. Felice learns the truth about Noah's fortune when he buys the Martin's yacht. Meanwhile, Brandon and Kelly are having odd experiences at work. Kelly thinks that the doctor at the clinic is being inappropriate, and she doesn't like it. Brandon thinks the new writer at the beat is being inappropriate, but he definitely likes it. He doesn't not like it, for sure.
Yeah.
He's not like, get off my desk.
All right.
Finally, Steve and Carly struggle to find time alone, while David struggles to fold a t-shirt. All right, Nick, who's living in Beverly Hills?
This episode was directed by Richard Denault and written by Al Treadman. Returning players include Miles Jeffrey as Zach Reynolds, Fatima Lowe as Terry Spar, George Del Hoyo as Dr. Gary Monahan, the Creep, Catherine Cannon as Felice Martin. I feel like it's been a while, but who knows?
And a few eps.
Couple of final appearances here. Okay, this one's weird. Tom Urich is here as Chet Winslow, who is Carly's new stepdad, maybe?
Right.
He was in another episode back in season six, and the credit says Chet Winslow both times, but I couldn't find anything about that. So I don't know if that's, I don't know, like, whoever wrote that, like, IMDb page somehow just put in the name. I don't know. Confusing. So, whatever, this guy's been on the show twice, but we'll never see him again. So, goodbye, Tom Urich as Chet Winslow. Final appearance of Karen Landry as Carly's mom, Doris. Really leaving her in the lurch.
It's a little uncool.
It's not it's cool at all. Uncool. Yeah. Yeah, but it's not even like, yeah, I think, you know, this summer I'm in a movie. It's like, yeah, mama's leaving in 9 days. Goodbye. Yeah. So, anyway. New recurring player. Angel Boris Reed as Emma Bennett. She recurred on shows like Love XO and General Hospital, and she appeared in the music video for Weezer's song, Beverly Hills.
Yes. Yeah. The connection.
Other cast members include Bill Darth as the cop. He previously appeared on Melrose Place, plus Lois and Clark, Shazam, Spider-Man, and The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Mary Weiss is here as Melissa, who was also on Melrose Place, plus episodes of Seinfeld and Splitting Up Together. We have Shay Bennett, who's here as the nurse. She was also a nurse on Melrose Place, so a lot of talent coming from the Melrose Place pool. Finally, Stuart Stone as the kid, discredited as the kid. He appeared in Donnie Darko as Ronald Fisher, plus he voiced a young Charles Xavier and Proteus in X-Men, the animated series.
The kid. What kid?
I would love to tell you, but I can't remember either.
Okay. Well, I love Donnie Darko.
So. Yeah, I know you do. There's a nostalgia me this on Donnie Darko. No. Yeah, is there? Is it Donnie Darko?
Sure
I know that.
Before we mention it.
Donnie
I'm
Darko
sure
or
do.
Johnny Mnemonic? Which one? Somebody
Johnny
did
Johnny Mnemonic
something.
was a
Three Nice Things. Okay. Yes. I think there's a Donnie Darko. Mnemonic, so. I think there's a Donnie Darko episode.
I think there, you know what? There is because I, for that episode, watched the like really bad sequel
to
Donnie
yeah.
Darko called S. Darko, and it was so bad. So bad.
Now we know.
Yes. All right. Let's get into the episode.
Oh my gosh. Kendra, I'm so glad you're back because I did not like doing the episode rundown last week.
Not so easy, is it?
No.
All right. We start at the Walsh house. And I listened to last week's episode with y'all talking about Kelly's hair.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
Like from the front, it looks okay. But from the back, it just looks like she took shears to it herself.
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
It's not great at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just going to like do full, like as tight to her head as they can get. Without taking
I
all
guess,
the hair away.
I guess. I can say with quite a bit of confidence that this is her last bad haircut of the series. So
okay. Well, yeah. We'll see.
Yep. We just got to ride it out.
Kelly is reading an article by Emma Bennett, and she's very engrossed in this article. And of course, Brandon knows who Emma Bennett is. She's a local whiz kid. She's like the hot writer right now. And Kelly thinks that he should get her to write an article for the Beverly Beat.
Great idea.
Yeah. Brandon doesn't really think she'll go for it, but he says he'll try.
Okay. She's writing articles about Gen Y, which I haven't heard people use the term Gen Y in a long, long time. Like it's kind of fell out of favor.
Why?
It's just millennials, but
okay.
There was a hot minute where they were like, it's not Gen X, it's Gen Y.
Yesterday or 2 days ago, I was with my choir people and we were talking about going out after. And I was like, oh, that place is so loud. And one of my friends was like, okay, boomer. And I was like, okay, millennial, because millennials don't like the loud.
Yeah,
we
right.
Want to be able to talk, dadgummit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I saw a thing that classified me as a geriatric millennial and I was like, okay. All right. Fair enough.
At the beach house. Whoever's house it is right now, is it still Donna and David's living there?
It's like it's Donna's and David's crashing on the couch or something, you know?
Okay. Well, Donna is making breakfast for Noah and Felice arrives. She's been trying to get in touch with Donna, but hasn't been able to get through. So she just decided to come over.
They did not spend the night together. I think that's sort of Felice thing.
Like, thanks for inviting me.
They make it very clear that Noah did not spend the night.
Yes. She's surprised to see Noah there, and she's also like, don't you have work to do to get the boat ready for auction? And he's like, no, I finished it all. It's ready to go. Donna didn't know about the auction. She had to like find out through Noah.
Yeah.
And she's a little upset that Felice didn't tell her.
It's which the family it yacht. It is kind of
weird because Felice wants her to come to the auction and she's like, oh, and bring David to the auction.
Yeah. Felice is out of the loop.
Yeah.
Felice is out of the loop. I tell you what, I'm out of the loop on yacht prices because when this thing started in the auction, I was like, wait, what? How much? In the 90s? Okay.
Okay.
I learned some stuff.
Felice goes to get some aspirin or something from the bathroom, and Noah and Donna are talking about Noah doesn't know where he's going to live yet. He hasn't, you know, figured that out because he was living on the boat.
Right.
And they start kissing, and Felice walks back in and sees them kissing. They couldn't wait 2 seconds.
I was like. I was like, cool at you two.
So Felice takes Donna down the hall, and Felice, who has never been Team David, ever, is like, what happened to David? You were so in love with him, and now you're just, like, not with him anymore.
I think it's the sex thing, though. I think that's Felice's. She's kind of like, all right, they did it.
You've given them everything.
Now we're stuck with him. I think that's her, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. And she's very much, she calls Noah a wharf rat.
Yeah.
And, you know, she looks down on him because she thinks that he has no money.
He's poor.
And Donna does not dissuade her of that. She tells Felice that she's an adult and she can make her own decisions, which I feel like she's been saying for years.
She has, but I felt like there was something about her handling of Felice in this episode that felt a little bit firmer, a little more strong. Yeah. Did you get that? Okay.
Yeah, I did. After the intro, we go to the Wyatt Clinic. And was Kelly working here in the last episode?
Kelly took Erica there for antibiotics.
This is where she took Erica. Okay, because you said, because did Dr. Monahan look at
Dr. Monahan was the one who looked at Erica, and then in the end, he was the one who was, like, helping the little kid and being charming in front of Kelly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So this is, like, the first time we see her actually working there. It was like, okay, I'm going to talk to the foundation.
She's actually working there now. So she's still, like, part of the foundation, but she's, like, working at
it's
there
like
instead
she,
of in the office now.
Yeah, because this is, like, under the foundation. So the foundation still employs her, but she's assigned to the clinic.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And she and Dr. Monahan are talking. She's very happy to be there. She feels like, you know, she's being more hands-on. She's making more of a difference than she was just sitting in an office.
Yeah.
And Dr. Monahan, you know, just seems like he's there to help. He's like, this is why I got into the business, to help people. And that's what I'm going to do. He, by the way, I'm sure you talked about this last week, but I recognized him immediately. He's in so many things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I recognized his voice too. So I'm sure I've heard him in like animated things before. But yeah. On the boat, Val comes to see Noah.
Valerie,
just
enough.
Can't leave him alone.
Enough.
And she wants to know what he's going to do with the After Dark now that he has the keys and he owns the place.
Yeah, because of the keys. Yeah.
Because of the keys. And Noah says, you know, he doesn't know what he's going to do. Valerie says that she really cares about the club and that he should let her run it because she has the experience. She actually cares. And, you know, that would just be a good decision on his part. But he's not interested.
Well, it's funny because when she approaches him at the beginning, the same scene, like 30 seconds later, he's like, I haven't made up my mind about what I want to do with it. And by the end of the scene, he's like, my decision is final. I'm like, what? When did you make the decision?
I thought the exact same thing. He was like, I've made my decision and that's it. I was like, did you?
Yeah.
At the Beverly Beat, David stops by to look at the classifieds because he needs a job.
Yeah.
Now that he doesn't have the Peach Pit.
They said early on with the Beat, they were like, Donna can write a fashion column and David could do music reviews. I wanted to see that. I think that would have been fun. I thought maybe, but no, David's just looking at the classifieds.
Well, Donna's been exposing sweatshops and David's
been, she's been busy,
you know, getting his legs broken by
Lil Right.
He finds a potential job, a cake decorator. I'm sure he has lots of experience.
Sure. With that. Yeah.
Steve thinks that he should just patch things up with Noah and go back to the Peach Pit after dark.
Yeah.
And Brandon is like, you know, if you would just check your ego at the door, I think you would see the boy is a good guy. But then David tells them that he's seeing Donna.
Steve's reaction to that is so funny. He says he's seeing Donna, and Steve goes, whoops. So really cracked me up. I loved it.
Yeah. Yep. At Carly's, Carly and Steve are leaving Zach with the mom, with the grandma, so that they can go on a date. And so Carly's like filling in her mom on what Zach needs to do for school. They're going to go do dinner and drinks, and then they're going to go to his dad's house in Malibu, which is conveniently empty for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Zach comes out to say goodbye, and they realize that Zach is sick.
Yeah, again. Man, I know. Again. That's the second like lame writing in this episode. I'm like, we just did this. Come up with another excuse. Grandma's got to go. Whatever.
I don't wish harm on this child, but have him cut his arm or fall and hurt his leg or something. I don't know.
The onset of this sickness, though, it should be studied because he's fine. And then he's like, I got a fever.
I honestly thought when she was carrying him back into his room that he was going to smile at Steve, I got out. You.
Yeah.
But that's not what it was at all. And we get this voiceover. Steve doesn't say it out loud. We just hear a voiceover that says, there goes my sex life.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing this show does.
I know.
So it was it was weird.
It was weird. And also we know Steve wants to have sex with her. It's not, you don't need to add the voiceover. We know.
See, Donna signed it. Kelly signed it.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
At the Peach Pit, Nat and David are talking about the whole, club scenario, what's going on. Did you notice that the coloring was interesting in this scene?
No.
Okay, I don't know why. It looked suddenly like a different show.
Oh.
It was deeper coloring and
.
I don't know. It was just, go back and watch it. It was
okay.
It was weird.
Were you watching the Snyder Cut, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, okay. Maybe that's what it was. Noah stops by and he's like, look, this is silly. Please take the club. I don't want it. I was just trying to help. But David doesn't want the club. He's like, you got the club. You've got my girlfriend. You've ruined my life.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
David had nothing to do with ruining his own life.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. But that's kind of Brandon's point earlier. And it's like, no, I mean, yes, it's not cool that Noah's dating Donna now, but Noah really did save him from everything. So,
At the Walsh house, my first note here is, hello, turtleneck.
Yes.
Brandon's turtleneck is just, it's a statement for sure.
Yeah, he's like Steve Jobs all of a sudden.
Kelly is just singing Dr. Monahan's praises.
Yeah.
She's like, he never gets tired. He's always, he's so helpful. And Brandon's like, oh, yeah, I bet he's really ugly too. And she's like, no, actually, just messing with him. But he is married, he says.
Okay. Okay.
And she says he's no Brandon Walsh.
Hmm.
Brandon also tells Kelly that Emma Bennett has agreed to meet with him about writing an article. David is starting his job at Khaki Nation.
Yeah.
Which I wonder, did you look it up? Is this an actual store? Because we see the storefront.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what it was. It looked a little bit like an Urban Outfitters to me, but then some of the stuff they had, I was like, no, that's not right. So no,
nowhere
I don't know what
as
it was cool supposed
as
to
an
be.
Urban Outfitters.
Yeah.
For sure. So David's getting a tour from a woman whose life is khaki. I mean,
it is.
She takes
it's all
khaki so seriously.
It's all khaki all the time.
Apparently, mixing textures violates company policy. So you can't, it confuses people. You can't put shirts of different textures.
Ooh, you know what? It was filmed at an Urban Outfitters. Yeah.
Wow.
In Santa Monica. That's fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
She's telling David that he needs to, don't just sell them khaki pants. You need to sell them a whole outfit, including hair wear.
Mm-hmm.
Which David finds funny. He's never heard the term hair wear.
David before, is very disrespectful to this woman the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, she is a lot. She's coming on strong.
She's a lot. She's a lot.
He's not.
Yeah.
He's not helping. She asked him to fold a shirt and he doesn't do a great job. And she's like,
no.
Boy, you have a lot to learn.
He folds it like a monkey would fold a shirt.
Yeah. He's like holding it against him, trying to fold it. Yeah. Like, put it down.
Yeah.
One time. This is so random. One time we were at my family's house and laundry was being folded. And I was like, Eric, fold this towel. And we all watched him fold it. And we were like, what are you doing? It was the craziest way to fold a towel ever. And he was like, what? I was like, that's not how you fold a towel.
Interesting.
Insane.
Now I want to know. I want to see him do it.
I honestly can't even remember how he did it because that's not how we fold our towels here. I guess I fold the towels most of the time. I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
But anyway, at the Walsh house, Steve is, he's checking. There's no one home. He's brought Carly over. They've got an hour alone to themselves before they have to pick up Zach. And as soon as they hit the bed and start kissing, Valerie just like appears like a witch with a exterminator who says they have to get out of the house for at least 4 to 5 hours because they have, what do they have? Mites?
I can't even remember.
I think it was mites.
Okay. It's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. At the Beverly Beat, here comes Emma Bennett.
Oh my word.
She's like a Spider-Man character come to life.
She is. I feel like they said to her, hey, sit down and watch every Lucinda scene and then just click it up a few notches.
Yeah, take it.
She
take
doesn't
it to 11.
She doesn't spare a word that's not some sort of sexual innuendo. Not even a word. Not a preposition. Every preposition is a proposition. But it's
like a Kansas album title.
It's like a left overture. It is like a noir detective novel. Every conversation between the two of them.
Like, she had
gams.
Hair.
I wouldn't
She's
quit.
Got this like
a bob.
It's like a red bob.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yep.
She asked Brandon if he minds if she smokes, and he does, which she figured.
Mm-hmm.
She's already like sussed him out as this like straight laced rule follower. Brandon gives her the pitch. He's like, hey, we want you to come work for us, but she does not want the commitment. She likes to freelance.
Oh.
She likes to, you know, have her hands in many pies.
Sure. No strings attached with her work, probably.
So she does say, he's like, well, how about you write an article and then we'll figure out the next step from there. And she's like, oh, you write to the point. No foreplay with you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she does agree to write an article. And there's just sexual tension all over.
Right from the beginning. The yeah.
At the Peach Pit After Dark, the house band is rocking. I don't know who they are, but they're doing it.
Yep.
But there's not many people there. Like
they
do. Like sometimes it looks like there's a ton of people there and what's the problem? But they do like a pan over the dance floor and there's like six people on the floor. Valerie comes in just to like mess with Noah.
Yeah.
And like, oh wow, it's really packed in here. And then she tries to order wine, but there's no wine. And she's
which we
like,
already
wow.
did that. Remember, we already did that with David. David didn't order the wine. So it was like, why the same thing again? I don't know.
And he's like, it's my first night. Like, I literally just took over. Give me 2 seconds to figure out what David did with this place. But Valerie says, you know, things are coming back to haunt you. This is karma. You ruined David's life. you've whatever
that's
with my life.
Did. Yeah.
And now you'll reap what you sow kind of thing. She's just, I feel in this season, we're back to just full villain.
Just like see what happens. Yeah.
Last season, they were like, let's try to make her like a friend.
Yeah.
And this season, they're like, no.
Yeah.
Full villain.
Yep.
At the Wyatt Clinic, Kelly is still there. It's nighttime, but she's, you know, she's been working hard all day and she's talking with Dr. Monahan and she's kind of like rubbing her shoulder. And he's like, oh, is there something wrong with your shoulder? Let me look at it.
Ugh.
And she's like, okay. As soon as he said that, I was like, dadgummit, if we're not going to do this storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes, they go back into like the exam room and he starts just like massaging her shoulders.
Yeah.
And then he's like, how's that? And he like takes off her sleeve. How's that? And then he takes down her strap.
Yeah.
And he like gets really close to her ear and is like, how's that?
Yeah.
And she's very uncomfortable. And she's like, oh, it's all better now.
Yeah, I'm
like,
cured.
Yeah. Very awkward. And not cool.
Mm-mm.
At the beach house, David is there. And I guess I didn't realize, in the last episode, did she ask him, did she tell him he could stay? Because I thought she kicked him out. I thought he packed his stuff and left.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there was a whole scene where she was like kicking him out and he was like, you're kicking me out. And it's like, we've already done this. And yeah, he was just there like casually eating cereal. I was surprised at that, too.
Yeah, he's just there every time she comes home.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't. It's weird.
He's there and he's listening to music at full volume. Mm-hmm. Like, can't be pleasant to listen to it that loud. Donna comes home, asks him to turn it down. And he's like, oh, shouldn't you be with your boyfriend? And they, you know, have a little fight. And she's like, you know, Noah opened the door for you to come back to the club. And so you have no one to blame for yourself for not, you know, being in the situation.
Yeah, for not being able to get back on your feet. Yep.
Ugh, I hate how this episode she's being so like, David, I know this is hard. I know that you're going through a tough time. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, is this where he's like, I can't be a friend to you because of my feelings?
No, that's later.
Okay, all right, because that's lame too, but all right.
Yeah. At the Walsh house, Noah comes over to ask Valerie for her help. After one night, he was like, I can't do it. I need Valerie's help.
I think it's in keeping with the Noah's character, like his MO this whole time, but he's just starting this thing with Donna and he knows all about this bad blood with Valerie and he still goes and like makes this commitment without even saying anything to Donna. I mean, it's just not smart.
There are hundreds of people in LA who could run that club.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So they negotiate. He will pay her old salary plus a 30% raise.
Jeez.
And she's going to get a 10% cut of the profits.
Yeah.
So she can eventually buy him out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sweetheart deal for Valerie. Like, I don't even really know what Noah's. I feel like he could hire a manager for like a quarter of that, but okay. You know?
Upstairs, Kelly is telling Brandon what happened with Dr. Monahan. And Brandon. I know
awful.
It's 1998, but like, come on, be
awful.
Do better. He's like, well, you were just telling me how great he is. Like, I were you confused? Were you just like, you know,
is it possible
if you were uncomfortable? Yeah. Surely if you were uncomfortable, you would have said something, but you didn't say anything.
Yeah. He really, I don't know. Like,
okay.
I can't imagine anybody acting like that. Even then, if you came, I don't know. If your significant other comes home and says, like, I had an experience that made me feel very uncomfortable, in what universe does the other person just say, like, you're crazy. That didn't happen. You know, I mean, it's nuts. Like, you got to explore it. You got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, why is he on this complete stranger's side and telling Kelly that she's being crazy?
I
hate it.
I don't know. Plus, there's a power dynamic. Like, he's an authority over her.
Yes.
So it's not easy to speak out in that situation.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So Kelly's like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, she's like second guessing her feelings on the situation. Back at Khaki Nation the next day, David is still not doing a great job folding. A customer walks by listening to a band that David likes, and so they start talking about it, and he lets David borrow his Walkman to listen to the music.
Yeah.
And his boss comes back and is appalled at how unprofessional he is being.
The kid. That's the kid.
The kid!
That's the kid. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't really recognize him, but that makes sense. So she tells David, you know, let's get you, we're, You're off the floor. Go unpack boxes and think about how unprofessional you are. And so David quits.
Yeah. He's like, he removes his red polo shirt. I don't need this. Done.
At the Wyatt Clinic, Dr. Monahan tells Kelly that he would like her in the room with him while he's giving an exam. He needs a witness in there so that no one can say, like, you did something inappropriate.
Yeah.
And he's so like, manipulative. You know, it's a sad world when you can't practice medicine without a witness in the room.
So manipulative.
He's like, oh, he's looking out for women.
Yeah, he's a real champion.
At the Beverly Beat, Emma comes to tell Brandon something she could have called to tell him over the phone.
Yeah.
That her computer is busted, so she has a tech guy looking at it, but her article is going to be a little late. And she is sitting on his desk, like, legs crossed, just like flaunting herself on his desk.
She's all legs and cleavage, being like, my computer's jammed. I don't know what to do.
So she suggests that they meet for a drink at the Blue Turtle the next day.
Sure.
So that she can give him her article in person.
They got to be doing it on purpose. The Blue Turtle, that's classic noir detective, you know. I had to meet her at the Blue Turtle the next day.
I know. I wish we had some of that, like, noir music every time she was in the room.
I mean, we already, you know, hearts have broken on voiceovers. So why don't we just add some voiceovers to these?
And he makes a comment about how she's always on the move, or she's always on the move, or she's always doing something. And she says, a body in motion stays in motion.
A body, did you say?
At Carly's house, Steve and Carly, they're excited. They're going to be home alone. They don't have to pick up Zach for 4 hours. They have all to themselves. But as soon as they walk in the door, Carly's mom is there making out with Chet.
With Chet, who we've seen before? Maybe?
Maybe?
Okay.
Maybe. They couldn't be at either of their own houses for some reason. I forget what the reasoning
was. Yeah, I can't remember either. The mites are everywhere. It's a great mite invasion.
And this is the first Carly has, like, heard of this guy.
Yeah.
She's never met him before. And her mom says that she's going to be going to his house in Arizona for a few months.
Yes.
A few months.
When you know, Kendra.
And Carly's like, well, when are you leaving? And she's like, next week. I hope you can find another babysitter, she says.
Yes. Jeez.
And Carly is trying to be, like, happy for her, but also is like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
At the beach house, David tells Donna that he quit his job.
Great.
And he tells Donna, you know, your life seems pretty great from where I'm sitting. Like, what do you have that's difficult in your life? And she tells him that her real issue right now is that maybe it was a mistake that they slept together.
Yeah.
David immediately is like, are these your words or your mother's words? Yeah. Like, I can't trust anything you say.
Yeah.
And he says that they can't be friends and they can't talk about this because he is still in love with her and it's just too hard.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it is Felice getting into Donna's head. So, like, I probably wouldn't have said that if I were David, but, like, I totally understand why that's where his mind went.
Val and Noah are at a restaurant or a cafe. They're going over some plans for the Peach Pit After Dark. They're going over, like, theme nights. And one of the ones that Valerie suggests is Country Western Night.
Yeah. Some people like it, Kendra.
Some people, they're like, don't knock until you try it.
When I see the Peach Pit After Dark, I think, I would like to line dance there.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Good line dancing floor.
Yeah.
Noah is kind of taken aback by Valerie in this context. He's like, I've never seen this side of you. Like, you're so passionate about this and organized. And he says he's glad that she's happy.
Hmm.
I don't know why he would be glad that she's happy, but.
But he is. He is.
Yep. Later on at the Peach Pit, Valerie is at the counter. And as soon, it's like she was just waiting for Donna to walk in. As soon as Donna walks in, she's like, oh, hello, Donna. I work here again.
Yeah. Are you looking for my partner, Noah?
We work together. Donna was, is, you know,
in this moment, she is, and I thought it was kind of fun that now it's like Donna and Valerie hate each other, yeah. And Kelly's off. I'm like, okay, yeah, why not?
So she goes over to the Peach Pit after dark, where again the house band is a rockin', but there are a lot more people there.
Yeah.
And Donna confronts Noah about this, and she's like, this is like, it's personal. You working with your old girlfriend is personal.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you living with your ex-boyfriend is personal.
Yeah.
Like,
which I thought was a fair point, but then Donna kind of comes back with, yeah, that's temporary. That's not the rest of my life. Like you and Valerie, you know what I mean? That's not like working every day together.
And she says, I'm not getting into another relationship with someone and then going to have Valerie like barking at my heels again.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this.
Been quite a few times.
She tells him that she needs some time. She needs some time to think.
Yeah,
and
she does.
It's fair. It's fair, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially because Donna and Noah, they're not a couple. You know what I mean? Like, they're sort of like, ooh, maybe we should date. We've kissed a little. You know what I mean? But they're not like... Donna could walk away and it would be like, well, you know, it might have been something. Guess not.
Yeah. At the Walsh house, Kelly tells Brandon that they should invite Emma over for dinner.
Mm.
And she also tells him that she thinks he was right. She just overreacted about Dr. Monahan. He's such a good guy. It's fine.
I totally misread the earlier scene when he was saying all that stuff. I thought the way Jenny Garth acted that was that Kelly was like, oh, he's a creep. Like, I thought it made her hip to it, but no, it worked fully. You know what I mean?
Well, and I also think it was the scene before where he asked her to come in and, like, protect these women and, like, you know.
But that's what I mean. I thought that Kelly kind of got the implied threat of, like, anyone will just go and say something.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I thought she could tell he was covering his tracks, but apparently not. Apparently she just was like, wow. Yeah,
that was a little confusing. At Carly's like...
Wait, Brandon's wearing two necklaces. I just want that to be out there. He's got two gold chain necklaces around his neck.
For crying out loud.
Yeah, and they're not sitting together. Though. They're separate. They're separate necklaces, so... Yep.
At Carly's, she's pacing, she's, you know, stressing, talking through this whole situation with Steve about her mom, and she, you know, she's happy for her mom, but at the same time, she's terrified about not being able to do it without her mom. And Steve says, you know, we will work something out, which makes her happy that she has Steve there in her life to help her.
Yeah, she's like, we? Gives him a big toothy grin. Yep.
And they suddenly realize that they're alone in the house.
They can get busy. Yeah.
They can. They finally have time.
Bodies in motion, Kendra, just like Emma said.
Yep. Speaking of Emma, at lunch at the Blue Turtle.
Okay. No. Stop everything. Because there is a fly crawling all over Jason Priestley in this scene. It
really?
Was like, yes, on his back, like all the shots where you're seeing like Emma over his shoulder is just a fly just like walking all over Brandon's back. And I thought it was so funny because you don't see that kind of thing very often outside of vice presidential debates. That fly, I just couldn't take my eyes off it. So anyway,
that's hilarious.
All. Proceed.
I forgot about that. They like did parodies of that on SNL.
Oh, yeah.
And everything.
Oh, yeah. That was big business. Yeah.
So she gives Brandon her article and she's trying to like get to know Brandon, like, oh, tell me about yourself. And he's like, well, there's not much to know. And she says, well, you know, I have like all the time in the world.
Brandon says, what about Brandon says that he was born in Minnesota, but raised in Beverly Hills. And I'm like, my man, you were 16.
Yeah.
16, 17 when you moved to Beverly Hills. You were not raised in Beverly Hills, but okay.
Semantics.
Yeah.
He says, well, what about a body in motion stays in motion? And she says, sometimes a body likes where it is.
Ooh.
David and Valerie are just like hanging out, walking like a shopping center or something.
Yeah.
And this was another scene where, like, the coloring was different than usual. And, like, the way they shot it, I felt, was different than how they normally shoot things. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever was on the camera, was trying some new things, I feel.
Yeah.
David tells her that he is going to be starting his job at a car wash.
Yeah.
And they're both like, this is all Noah's fault. What a jerk. We hate him.
Yeah, it's definitely Noah's fault. That's for sure.
They run into Donna and it's very awkward. She's, you know, she talks to David and kind of gives Valerie the cold shoulder. And after she leaves, Valerie, just the light, you can see the light bulb come on in her brain. And she's like, here's an idea. You and I pretend to be together, and that's going to make Noah and Donna jealous.
Yeah.
And they're going to break up and they're going to come back to us.
Yeah.
And David's like, it's so crazy. It just might work.
It just might work. Yeah.
This is the plot of the movie.
Many movies.
With Charlie Day and.
Yes. Jenny Slate. Yeah.
Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
Can't think of what it's called, but it was a good movie.
I can't either. Yeah, it was a great movie. Yeah. Also kind of the plot to Addicted to Love with Meg Ryan and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. Back at the clinic, Dr. Monahan I forget how it leads up to it, but he basically is like, Kelly, you look very beautiful today.
Dr. Skies. Ugh.
Yep. Ugh. So she's back to feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah. Good call.
All right. The boat auction has arrived.
Yeah.
And it's like they've got this big setup at the marina and it's like a full auction. Have you ever been to an auction, Nick?
Yes. Not a fun one. I went with my grandpa when I was a teenager to this school that was auctioning off everything, like everything. Ooh. And it was really entertaining. I wanted the jukebox so bad, but we didn't win.
The school had a jukebox?
It did. In like the cafeteria, there was like an old school jukebox. I don't know why. Yeah. But I wanted it. We didn't get it.
My mom and my brother, when we lived in Japan, they went to an auction. I didn't go. I don't know why. But my brother was like so excited that whenever like my mom would tap him, he would like hold up the the paddle.
That is fun.
Yeah. Felice tells Donna that she's proud of her. She's like, you know what? You can make your own decisions. You're an adult.
Yeah.
The auction begins. The starting bid is $200,000.
It's a lot of money.
That's a chunk of change.
Yeah.
So the bidding goes on and it's stopping at $300,000. And then Noah shows up and he's like, $325,000. Felice thinks that he's just like, you know, joking.
Joking, like I guess.
Prank. And she like stands up and she's like, this is crazy. He doesn't have money. But Noah's like, actually, I have a cashier's check for $300,000. And he gives it to the auctioneer, who is like, all right, the bid is $325,000.
Yeah.
And no one outbids him, so Noah gets the boat.
Which I was thinking, I mean, this is much better television for him to show up and be like, I'm rich. Yeah. But I feel like he could have got a better deal from the Martins had he just approached them directly.
Oh, yeah.
Save on all those auction costs, you know.
Felice is then told that he is one of those hunters.
Yeah, I think she sees it on the back and he's like, Hunter Oil? What have I done?
She's like, Donna, why didn't you tell me? And Donna's like, because I knew that you would treat him differently.
Yep.
So Donna and Noah step aside and Noah's like, you know, I know you said you need time, but I'll be on the boat. Let me know. And she's like, yeah, I've had my time. Let's date. I did not see this coming when this season started. I would not have put on my, you know, card, Noah and Donna get together.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what we were saying last week. I feel like they must have just kind of noticed the chemistry because it really feels like it came out of nowhere.
They do have chemistry.
They do have chemistry. I know.
More than him and Val did.
Yes.
And more than him and Kelly.
Yeah.
All right, our last scene is at the Walsh house. Brandon and Kelly are in their room, and Kelly asks if he invited Emma to dinner, and he's like, oh, no, it didn't come up. Kelly is going to take a shower. She said she just feels dirty. Mm. Which, again, Brandon should be picking up on
maybe
all of these
up.
Signs.
Maybe follow up,
But she's like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I want to take a shower. So she goes in the bathroom and the phone rings and it's Emma. Mm. And we see Emma.
Yeah.
And she's like laying on her bed in this like black.
Yep.
silk, like, teddy kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And she calls to, you know, ask about the article, but also to ask Brandon what he's wearing.
Yeah.
She tells him what she's wearing, which it's over the phone. She didn't actually have to be wearing it, but that's she true. Is.
Well, but I think she thought he would come over. I think she was just ready, you know.
Yeah, she's like, want to come over and find out what I'm wearing kind of thing. And he says, I can't.
Yeah, I can't. Not, no, I have a girlfriend. Yeah. Or, you know, he's like, I can't.
Yeah. And she says, you will. And after they hang up, Kelly asks who was on the phone. And Brandon says it was a wrong number.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
To Emma's credit, the you will was a pretty baller move.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good. Yeah.
She's got the.
Yeah.
Got the confidence for sure.
Yeah, she does.
All right. That's the episode.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you, my snap is the you will. We're right there. So that's my snap. I thought that whole exchange, you know, what about you?
I'm going to give it to Noah coming into the auction.
Oh, the boat? Yeah.
Outfitting everybody. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Verdict overall?
Interesting things happening here. Yeah. I don't necessarily want to see, again, I feel like they're always trying to find ways to tear Brandon Kelly apart, and this is just another thing.
Yeah.
So not super into that, but I'll give Noah and Donna a try. Sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same place. You know, I'm over like, oh, poor David. Like, I don't want that anymore. The Steve Carley thing is just such a, I don't know. It's like, it's not interesting. And it's like every episode throws another hurdle, but the hurdles are also not interesting. So,
right.
It's hard to really be invested in that. And I feel like poor Ian Ziering, poor everybody, you know, like poor Ian Ziering, poor Hilary Swank are kind of locked into this very narrow story category. So
yeah, narrow. That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
But I love full villain Valerie.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I always have.
I wish David had a trajectory. I wish like we knew anything about like
David what also was going on. He had a trajectory.
Yeah. I don't want to. It's just like Kelly, like how many horrible things? There's so many more, Kendra, but like how many horrible things do we have to throw at Kelly? Like, can't she just have a good experience?
Why can't she just live her life?
For heaven's sakes, this is like the cult all over again. I don't know. It's, I don't like drama and obstacle for the sake of drama and obstacle. Yeah. And I just feel like where each season is sort of progressively getting farther and farther away from like an actual story through line and more just like, you know, like a video game. And it's like, okay, the show is now in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where he has to go through that to get to the cup at the end. Only the penitent man shall pass. Just like obstacle, 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 obstacle. So, you know. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know, Kendra, but what I do know is that you can catch me every other week on this Endorian Life, a Star Wars podcast from the Radio Meanwhile Network. What about you, Kendra? What are you doing?
I'm Miss Musebox 91 online, and I'm also the co-host of the podcast. 90s music got me like.
There it is.
Why do both of my podcasts start with the number 9?
I don't know. 90.
90s music got me like, where we talk about 90s music. And our next song is going to be The Kids Aren't All Right by The Offspring.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, I'll see you then. Not really, but I'll listen. All right. 9021, here we go.
Here we go.